Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Well, hey everybody, it's Pastor Omar here. And earlier this year, I introduced to us a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. And what Be a Blessing is all about is that we would come alongside different families in our city who are hurting, who are under-resourced, and not only serve them once, but serve them throughout the year at various times. So for example, at the beginning of the school year, we would provide for their children backpacks full of school supplies and also raise money through Caring for Miami to ensure that they're fed through the entire school year. During Thanksgiving, we would come to the same family and bring a Thanksgiving meal so that they can enjoy Thanksgiving just like you and I. During Christmas time, we would also come alongside of them and ensure that their children have gifts so that they can experience the same thing that our children experience and provide any other things that they need during the holiday season. And even into the new year, even up to Easter time, listen, we would come alongside of them, and if there's ever a need, if there's ever a tragedy that ensues, they know that there's a group of people that loves them, prays for them, and is there to support them. And so I want to take the time to update you on where we're at on Be a Blessing. You all ready? All right. So up to this point, you have signed up to minister to 342 different families. Amazing, right? And not only that, but we've been able to raise over $61,000 to ensure through Caring for Miami that they have food through the entire school year. And so listen, if you are a small group that signed up, or maybe an individual family that you signed up for Be a Blessing, thank you so much for rising to the challenge and being part of this amazing initiative. I am so confident that God's gonna use you throughout the year to not only meet their physical needs, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. And by the way, if you signed up, in the next few weeks, you're gonna get an update and all the information of your specific family so that you can begin to reach out to them and begin to form that relationship that will go the entire year. Now, if you're a small group or a family, an individual family that has enough resources to bless another family, but you have not signed up yet, listen, it's not too late. Simply go to cfmiami.org/beablessing, fill out that form, and then we will get in touch with you and get you squared away, all right? Well, in Christ Fellowship, thank you so much for your passion and your love for the Lord. It shows in the way that you rise up to the challenge and that you want to be a blessing to so many families in our city, all right? Love you all.
Hey, church, how many of you are glad that today as you sing to our God, listen, that you are a child of the living God? Can you praise God today? Come on. Amen. Man, I love you hearing you sing. And listen, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that our worship teams across all campuses sang that song. Because the song says, I will not be a slave to fear. And folks, that's exactly what we're going to be learning from God's word today, how God wants to set you free from fear. Can we praise God one more time? Amen. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us at all of our campuses throughout Miami-Dade. Thank you so much. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as a lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And today we are starting a brand new series, as you can tell. It's called Set Free. And it's a study through the book of Exodus. You know, last year on this same weekend, we started at the beginning of the fall, we started the book of Genesis. You all remember that? Yeah? And we went through almost an entire year going through the book of Genesis. We ended it midsummer, late summer. And so I figured, you know what? No better way to start the fall than to the next book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. You guys excited about this? Yeah? Awesome. Yeah, so am I. And so if you have your Bibles, just turn to Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. And you can follow along with me wherever you find yourself, right? Listen to what God's word says. It says, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile." In other words, you shall drown that little baby boy the moment it comes out. "But you shall let every daughter live." And so as you can tell, a fearful situation has come upon the people of God. But God's word says this in Psalm 56. It says, "When I am what, church? When I am afraid, I put my what? My trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. And I shall not be what, church? Afraid." That is God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And folks, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, a few weeks ago, Ashley and I took a short trip to Northern California. And while we were getting ready for the trip, I thought to myself, what's something that we can do in Northern California that we cannot do in Miami? So I thought, what about if we take a hot air balloon ride? Oh, yeah. So I went online, I found a specific place, and I booked it. Now, folks, follow me here, because a day came that we had to wake up at 4:45 in the morning. Yeah, and so we got ready to go. It was a sunrise deal, so we left and we got to the field. And folks, when we got there, they were beginning to inflate the hot air balloons. In fact, take a look. Right behind me, you'll see, right, when we got there, that's what we started seeing when we got right to the field. And it was such a cool thing in the cool of the morning just to see that flame. And really, those balloons are huge. And so eventually, after they inflated, we got inside of the basket. And we were getting ready to go up. And then eventually, at that juncture, they began to turn on the burners. And as you can tell, yeah, they began to turn them on. And little by little, that basket started going up and up and up. And folks, it was such a cool, surreal experience just to start almost like just float up in the air. And it was began to be so quiet. The higher you went, it was just so quiet. It was so peaceful. And it was a really cool experience. And I got to tell you, during this entire time, I was cool, calm, and collected. Oh yeah, I was relaxing. It was a beautiful thing. But folks, something happened that when we got about 5,000 feet in the air, oh yeah, fear started gripping my heart. Oh yeah, you know, at that time, I began to look around and realize I'm in a basket. Yeah, I'm in a basket and there are no railings, there's no straps, there's no windows. I'm looking up and I don't know why, there was like every time the guy turned on burners, like hay started coming up. I'm thinking, is this thing burning, you know? And so at that juncture, fear started gripping my heart. And when Ashley turned around and she saw my face, yeah, she knew that something was off. You know, everyone was having such a great time and enjoying it. And folks, I was holding on to dear life, you know, just hoping that nothing was going to happen. And folks, listen, I'm not afraid of heights. In fact, if I could be honest, I kind of like heights. I like going up really tall buildings. I don't mind high mountains. Trust me, it's not a height problem. I really enjoy heights and really beautiful views. But folks, something happened at that moment that I started thinking of what could happen. How I was not in control. And I started thinking of my children. You know, if something happens, we're not gliding down like in a plane. No, we're going straight down. And so the more that I started thinking, listen, fear started gripping my heart. And folks, it started to control my emotions. Folks, it started to control my thoughts. And family, it started even changing the way I looked. My countenance changed immediately. And folks, I started realizing what a powerful emotion fear could be. Now, by the grace of God, I got used to it. And so I was able to enjoy it. We saw a beautiful sunrise. It was really a beautiful, beautiful experience. And just to see that whole entire region and even all the other balloons that were kind of with us, following us. And so it was a really, really neat experience just to see that. I'll never do it again, but you know, I'm glad I did it. But folks, here's what's funny. The balloon in front of us landed in an open field. But you gotta remember, balloons, you can't direct them. It's only up and down. So we were drifted into a neighborhood and we had to make a landing in the middle of a neighborhood. You wanna see what happened? Okay, take a look.
Up, jump out behind the truck, get ready for drop line.
Copy, now we're ready.
You guys are coming towards the balloon. When you got, guys, pay attention to me, when you guys get cut this corner, you're cutting to the west. Okay, it's okay. Pull. There you go. All right. Now, guys, stop and hold me back. Stop right there. There we go. There we go. Okay. All right, there you go. Good job.
Sorry.
Give me some gas. It's
okay.
Give me some gas. All right, there we go.
Good morning, everyone.
Anyone got breakfast?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, hold on. All right, well, that's
it.
Praise God, we made it back, right? Thank God. And it was cool because people came out like in their robes, sipping coffee. It's like a balloon landed in their neighborhood. But folks, listen, do not miss the point of this whole story, right? Because somewhere in that journey, I began to experience fear. And I realized to the point that it gripped my heart to such a degree that it began to control everything about me, my emotions, my thoughts, and even my physical appearance. And folks, let me just bring that to our time together as we open up God's word, because folks, what an example of what could happen in all of our hearts the moment fear strikes. And by that, I mean that just like I was gripped with fear in that journey, listen, just like that. And here's the main idea as we open up God's word today. When we allow fear of any kind to enter into our hearts, it begins to control us like nothing else. In other words, the moment that fear starts to grip your heart, it begins to control all of your emotions, all of your thoughts, and even, like I said, the way you look, it changes everything about you to the point that you don't even look like yourself anymore. And who knows, maybe you're here right now, and you are, in a sense, facing fear, you're experiencing fear of one way, shape, or form. And you have started to see how fear has begun to control your life. So for example, maybe you're here and you're a student and you, every time you go to school, you're concerned about those group of people, your friends, that they're gonna make fun of you. And so there's a real fear inside of you of what people at school are gonna think about you. For some of us who are young adults or in adolescence, we start thinking, well, you know, my fear is that I'll never meet that person, that I'll never get married, that I'll never be able to start a family. I can never meet anybody. Nobody really is interested in me. And so maybe that's your fear. For some of us, maybe perhaps as you get older, you start worrying about financial stability. You start looking at your finances. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little. Listen, you are gripped by financial stability and about the future. For some of us, it could be fear of maybe never having a child, something happening to a child. Maybe the future of your children, you're seeing that they're going the wrong direction and fear is starting to control you. And for some of us, especially as we get older, maybe we start fearing a certain illness, a certain cancer, something hitting, coming into our lives. And every single time you go to the doctor, it's a fearful moment. And so you'd probably wonder, well, Pastor, what do we need to know about this thing called fear? And what can we do to overcome fear in our lives? Well, folks, we're going to find out today from Exodus chapter 1, all right? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 1. And folks, today I have two thoughts for us on what we need to keep in mind when we begin to experience fear. So write this down as point number one. And that is that fear has a way of enslaving you. Now let's go to the passage for today. Listen to what it says. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. So they multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now folks, pause right there for just a moment. Because the last thing we saw in the book of Genesis, if you recall, if you're here with us, is that Joseph was reunited with his brothers, with his father Jacob, right? And they eventually got reconciled and they settled in the land of Egypt, the Hebrew people. And so the scripture now tells us that all those people that we studied about for almost a year, all those people have passed away. They're long gone. And now between verse 7 and 8, we fast forward, get this, 400 years into the future. And so now listen to what happens then. So now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph and what he did for the Egyptian people, right? Joseph was a great leader. And he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them as they multiply. And if war breaks out, they're going to join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves. And so as you can tell, right, even though the people of God were beginning to be oppressed, the reality is, and we're going to see through this series, God is behind everything that happens. Amen. God is already beginning to work, setting things in motion. And so listen to what happens next. It says, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and you see them on that birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dwelt well with the midwives and the people multiplied and they grew strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, you shall drown that little baby boy, but you shall let every daughter live. So notice here, Pharaoh is trying to control and stifle the people of God by instilling fear into them. So you can tell in this case, he'd make a decree that every single little baby boy would be killed. Now, folks, think about this. Because unlike today, right, the couples at that time didn't know what they were going to have until that day that the woman had birth, right? And so it took something very beautiful, very exciting, to be something very fearful. You know, nowadays, you know, so many people do gender reveals, right? Where the whole family comes together and they're gonna find out if it's a boy or a girl. And the moment they do that, what happens? Everyone celebrates. Everyone's looking forward to the gender reveal. It's a really special moment for families. But folks, a birth was no longer special for a family. In fact, it was a very fearful situation. Because you're now conflicted. You wanna have a baby, but you're fearful that the moment that you have that little baby boy, it will be taken from your arms straight into the Nile. And so the enemy turned something so joyful into something very fearful. But folks, here's what we're gonna learn. Write this down, letter A. That the enemy uses fear to try to control God's people. You see, just like Pharaoh utilized fear to try to control the people of God then, listen, nothing has changed in thousands of years. Our enemy still uses fear to try to control the people of God. And listen, whatever it is in your life that you're fearing, here's what you need to keep in mind. The enemy's gonna use that to begin to control your life. And folks, here is why it's so dangerous. Write this down, letter B, if you're taking notes. Because fear can lead you to sin against God. Now, let me give you an insight to fear. You know, the reason that you and I fear is because when we see a possible danger and we cannot control that danger, we fear. So for example, in other words, fear, if we can put it up, the definition, fear is the soul's reaction to the lack of control over a possible harm or threat. Emphasis on lack of control. So think about it. If you recognize there's something fearful that I don't want to happen, whatever it is, the more control you have over it, the less you fear. The less control you have of that thing you fear, that possible harm, the more you fear. You see how it works? And so the enemy's goal in your life is to make you fear something so much that he begins to tempt you to try to obtain control of whatever that is, especially by a means that will dishonor God. And so think about it. It's implied in this passage that really these people were fearing Pharaoh's killing of their entire family, that they would eventually give up one of their children to try to save the other children, right? And so the question is here that I want you to ask yourself is, how is fear leading you to do something that dishonors God? Think about this. How is fear leading you to dishonor God? So for example, for some of us, if you might be a student at school, and you fear that those people are going to make fun of you, say something, ridicule you, and so because of it, you give in to the peer pressure, because what you're trying to do is control their perception of you and by dishonor God. Some of us are fearful of never marrying somebody, of meeting that person. And that fear leads you to date someone that you know is not God's best for you. And worse, maybe for some of us, lead you to sleep with them because you're fearful that they're gonna leave you if you don't sleep with them. For some of us, we are so concerned about our financial future, our financial stability, that we try to control somehow by never being generous to anybody, never honoring God with your giving, never giving to the gospel. Why? Because you're trying to hoard in as much money as possible to try to control your own future. And for some of us, listen, we might be facing a situation that may not have favorable results if you're forthright, if you're honest. So therefore, what? You lie, you cheat, you do something to maneuver. Why? Because you're trying to control the outcome, and thereby you're dishonoring God. You see how fear can control you to dishonor, lead you to dishonor God? And so fear is a powerful tool of the enemy to enslave God's people. But here's the good news. You ready? Write this down as big number two. But God wants to set you free from that fear. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah? Now listen to what happens next. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, scripture only says about Moses when he was born here that he was a beautiful or a fine child. But Hebrew tradition holds that there was something about this moment where they felt that God was going to use his child for some great purposes in powerful ways. And so this couple had to confront fear. Knowing, think about this, that if they didn't hand over this little baby to the Egyptians to be killed, that it could mean the death, the annihilation of their entire family. And think about it. Moses, they already had two children. They had Miriam, who was probably between ages 7 and 10. And then you have Aaron, who was about 3 years old. And so now, by not giving up this child, they were risking that their entire family would be annihilated by Pharaoh. And so there came a point that Moses' mom, whose name was Jochebed, by the way, placed that little boy, she overcame that fear, and she placed that little boy into that basket, into and sent off this little baby boy into the river, knowing very well that the moment that she put this little baby, it could mean the death of her two other children that were looking at her to doing this. Now you'd probably wonder, but Omar, how can Moses' mom, parents overcome this fear that they had? Well, folks, write this down as letter A, very simple. Only faith in God sets you from fear. Amen? One person agrees with that. Can I get an amen to that? Okay. In fact, listen to what Hebrews 11 in the New Testament says about this specific moment. It says this. It says, by what, church? Faith. By what? Faith. Yeah, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not what? Afraid. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, I love this. It says, they were not afraid. Even though they knew all the other circumstances, even they knew the risk, it says, they were not afraid. In fact, a defining mark in the child of God is that they are not controlled and consumed by fear. Now, it doesn't mean that you will never fear. You see, the reality is that it's normal for all of us to experience fear at different points in our lives. What is not right is that we allow that fear to take a control of our lives to such a degree that it begins to control everything about you. That's why Psalms 56 says this. It says, when I am afraid. It doesn't say, I'm never afraid. No, it says, when I am afraid, I put my what? Trust. I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be what? Afraid. Amen. So listen, when you are fearing and it's taking a hold, that is an indicator to your soul that you are not trusting God in that specific area of life. And so when you come to those moments where you feel like, wow, I'm letting this fear overtake my life. Listen, here's what you need to understand. The reality is that the only thing that can loosen the grip of fear in your heart, listen, is faith and trust in the living God. The moment you put your transfer, your trust to God about that area, it has a way of loosening the grip of fear from your soul. And so listen, when you may be hearing thinking, Omar, I want to have faith. I want to overcome this fear, but where do I put my faith? What's the object of my faith? What is it, just in general, a general faith in God? Well, actually, it's very specific. Write this down, letter A. First of all, faith in God's sovereign control. Now, folks, listen to what happens next. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. The baby was crying. So she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse a child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Now, folks, listen, do not overlook the sovereign hand of God in this moment. Because it was the sovereign hand of God that led that little basket down the river safely without sinking. It was a sovereign hand of God that moved into Pharaoh's daughter to want to take a bath at that specific moment. It was the sovereign hand of God that when Pharaoh's daughter saw this Hebrew baby, instead of pushing it deep into the water like her father asked her to, for some reason, the sovereign hand of God moved their heart to have pity on that child. You see, my point is that Moses' mother, her trust was so strong that she knew that she was not in control. She knew that Pharaoh was not in control. She trusted, she knew that the only sovereign one was the God that she loved and served. Amen? And folks, here's unfortunately what happens to you and I at times is this, is that we know when we're facing a fearful situation, we know God is there, we know God loves us, but somewhere in our mind we think, he's not really in control of that situation, but he'll be there for us if it happens. Isn't that what we think at times? You know, the classic example is when the disciples were taking a trip across the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. And many of us know the story, right? A storm came to the point that it was breaking the boat and they were about to sink. Listen, they were fearing their lives. I mean, that's the point that it got to. And so they were fearful because they knew Jesus was there, but they didn't think he was in control. But listen to what happens in Mark chapter 4. And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no what? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?" The folks, what was Jesus challenging them on? He was not challenging their faith in him as the Messiah, right? They already believed that. What he was challenging them is whether or not they had faith that he was in sovereign control of everything. That's what he was challenging them on. And so listen, whatever situation in your life, whatever situation you find yourself, and you realize, wow, fear is starting to grip my heart. Listen, you need to remember and put your trust that you have a sovereign God who is in control. Amen? Listen, you are not in control of this. That boss is not in control of this. That other person is not in control of this. That other thing that you're fearing is not in control of this. The only one who's truly in control is the one who spoke the world into existence, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. Can we praise him today? Now listen, when fear starts gripping, listen, remember, God is in control, and what's gonna happen is due to his sovereign hand, amen? And not only that, but listen, also faith, write this down, letter C, faith in God's goodness. And listen to what happens one more time, that the last time here in Exodus chapter 2, it says this. It says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, so take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. That's what the word name Moses means. You see, folks, Moses' mom knew that if she trusted God, that her God was a good God. And regardless of what was gonna take place in her life, she knew that everything was led by the good God that she served. And I love this because as God would have it, the Lord caused, think about how crazy this is, right? That God caused, out of all the thousands, if not millions of women in the camp of Israel, the people, the Hebrew people, he led Moses' mother to be the one who nursed him in her youth, and God rewarded and honored that lady for her trust in the goodness of God. And listen, I want to challenge you today. Listen, in the same way, when you at some moment in your life, when you are fearful and you're beginning to trust God and the fact that he's a good God, listen, God has a way of honoring you. And listen, there's something about it that you need to know that regardless of what the Lord leads here and it turns out, your God is good. And that whatever happens, he's gonna be there with you, he's leading you, and everything that happens eventually in a way that we can never even truly understand, God will make it out for our good. You know, this is why in God's word, it promises us, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things. Folks, what a statement. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, child of God, if you're fearing something right now, listen, God wants to set you free from that fear. He does not want you to be enslaved to that fear. It's time to begin to remind yourself, my God is in sovereign control, and my God is a good God, and he will lead me through it. Can we praise God today for that? Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let me end with this. You know, some of us are here today, and the reality is that you're sitting here, and you're brand new today for the first time. You're with us. Or maybe perhaps you're at a season, you've been coming for several weeks, but you know about God and you're open to the things of God, but deep down inside, you know that you don't have a relationship with God. And you start looking at your life and you have seen in your life how fear has really controlled a lot of your life, your actions in your youth. Eventually, when you got in here as a young adult, as you grew through your life, you start seeing, wow,
I've just now started seeing how really fear has really started leading my life. And you're thinking, you know what? I don't want to live in fear anymore. I want a relationship with God. I need to get right with God. I don't know much about anything, but you know what? I'm at a point in my life that I just need God in my life. I want that relationship with God that everyone here is talking about. I want God with me. I want to walk with the Lord. So how do you do so? Well, the Bible says that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved from their sins. And you'll be thinking, well, Omar, well, how do you call on God? Is it coming, sitting here, watching online at one of our campuses? How do you call on God? It's very simple. It's not about church attendance. It's not about a ritual when you were an infant or some sort of tradition that we do here. It's very simple. There has to come a point that you put your full trust and faith in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection, how he lived the perfect life of obedience for you that you could never live. He lived a righteous life. And then when he went to the cross, listen carefully, he did not die for his own sins. He was perfect, he was sinless, but he died for every single one of your sins. Every mistake, every shameful thing, he died for you on that cross. And that he resurrected to new life to give you a future and a hope. And in the moment you put your trust, your faith in the Lord, something very special happens. First of all, he forgives you of all of your sins. Everything you're ashamed of, everything you've done that you know is not right. Listen, God already knows. God already loves you, and he forgives you. And then, here's what I love. After forgiving you, he comes and then he makes you his own. He makes you his own son and daughter. And from that moment on, you start a personal relationship with the Lord. And as you go through life, when fearful moments happen, you don't have to worry anymore because you're not alone. God is with you. You have a relationship with the living God. And the God who's faithful will be faithful to lead you and guide you through it all because he is the one who's in control of your life. See, but there has to be a point to say, you know what? I just need God in my life. I want to start a relationship with God. The question is, will you put your trust and faith in the Lord today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you, oh God, for those of us who are your children already, who have put our faith in you. Thank you, my Lord, that we don't have to go through life alone and that we know that when fearful moments strikes, Lord, we can trust in you. You're there with us. And with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to speak to some of us here today who perhaps you're at a moment where you're ready. I mean, you're ready. And so if that's you, listen, in a few moments, I'm going to lead you through a prayer. But when you pray this prayer quietly to yourself, listen, when you pray, you don't talk to me. You don't pray to me. You pray to the God who loves you and who gave his son on the cross for you. You pray to him. And listen, remember, it's not the words of your prayer that saves you. It's just simply the condition of your heart. It's the act of faith of you going to the Lord. That is what's saving you. And so that's you. Pray this with me quietly to yourself. Lord, today I realize that I am in need of you. And so I come before you, Lord, and I confess my sin. I ask you for forgiveness of sin. And today, Lord, I surrender. I put my trust in you, O Lord. And Lord, as you make me yours, for the rest of my life, help me to live confidently that you are with me until the day I see you face to face and spend eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I love you, Lord. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray, and all of God's people say, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up for the Lord, amen.